You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kroidlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Good morning, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm only a couple years away from the age of 50, and one of the things that's always on my mind is my heart health. And if that's something that's important to you, and you live in the Racine-Kenosha area, Ascension All Saints and Ascension St. Francis are having events at their facilities to talk about this very topic. And Don Rosen spoke to Megan Justman about their Heart and Stroke Walk as well as their Fair Wellness Fest. Now, I'm not even going to try to attempt to give you Megan's title. I'm going to let Don handle that.
We got Megan Justman here. Hi, Megan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
You got a very long title. I'm going to shorten it, but I'm going to give you the full title now. Regional Supervisor, Cardiovascular and Pulmonary Rehabilitation, Ascension All Saints, Cardiovascular and Pulmonary Rehabilitation, Ascension St. Francis. I'm exhausted just listening to the title. That's good. Okay, so in essence, you're the supervisor at Cardio Rehab, and I've been there because I had heart surgery 14 years ago, so I was there, so I know what it's like. So you have a couple of events coming up. We've got a walk coming up, and we've also got a wellness fair coming up. Let's talk about the walk first, because that's coming up the soonest.
Sure. So coming up, we have a Walk Where You're At event that is in partnership with the American Heart Association. So on Saturday, September 27th at 9 a.m., there is the American Heart Association Heart Walk happening both in Milwaukee and then also right here in Racine at the All Saints campus. We understand that not everybody can make it up to Milwaukee, and so we're glad to host everybody to take a walk with us on the All Saints campus, as well as learning a little bit more about the cardiovascular services.
Now, this is not a run like the Lighthouse Run. This is a stroll, a walk.
Correct.
And no one's running. We're not trying to break a world Guinness record here. We're just trying to walk. And again, so the walk, it's a mile walk.
It's a 1 mile.
And where's
loop.
The starting point?
At our main entrance, in the lobby of the main entrance, is where our guests will check in. And then while they're there, they can learn a little bit more about ways that they can prevent heart disease, as well as get some their blood pressure checked, learn about the risk factors for heart disease, and even a few heart healthy samples.
Now, I have a cardiologist at Ascension, and every time they take my blood pressure, oh, please don't make it be up. Please, 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 please. And she says, oh, it's perfect. 120 over 80. So the walk is coming up when again?
It's Saturday, September 27th at 9 a.m. And again, we'll make that 1 mile loop through campus and we'll have some information for our guests as well. It is a fundraiser, though, for the American Heart Association.
Yeah.
So, you know, the American Heart Association provides us with a lot of research and treatment guidelines that help us bring best practice care right here in Racine. And so it's important for us to partner with American Heart Association and keep Racine safe as a community and help them be healthy.
Anyway, so let's talk about the wellness fair coming up.
Yeah, so we have a free wellness fair coming up on Thursday, October 2nd. That will run from 4 to 6:30 p.m. And that is in partnership with some of our other community organizations, in particular our local police and fire. We also have Flight for Life scheduled to land.
Oh, so you got a helipad there at
we've
at
got
All
a
Saints
couple,
Racine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Flight for Life is scheduled to land pending, you know, any emergencies or bad weather. The event will be held outdoors in the Medical Office Building C parking lot. So
that's if you're looking at the main hospital and you're standing on Spring Street off to the right. Is that the building you're talking about?
It's the same building that we have urgent care, pharmacy, lab in, kind of across the street from the parking structure as well.
All right, so let's talk about some of the things you could, you know, find out about there.
Sure, absolutely. So we're going to have a lot of hands-on activities for our guests of all ages. So from pediatrics to orthopedics. We will have hands-on activities such as a teddy bear clinic where kids can bring their teddy bear for a checkup. We will have some lessons on hands-only CPR, information on your heart or your lungs, and have some great samples from our teaching kitchen. And so I think it's going to be a fun day or a fun evening.
And you find out things about yourself maybe you didn't know before and take care of yourself. And you'll find out how unsafe cigarettes are for you. You know, I can't believe in this day and age, people think, well, I just have a pack a day. That's okay. It's not okay. You're talking about a person who never smoked a cigarette in his life. So I can, I know it's a hard habit to break. I understand, you know, people get it. Well, a good friend of mine, his daughter just had a baby and you can't have cigarettes in that house when the baby comes over. He stopped from whatever, a pack a day, whatever he had, to nothing.
Impressive.
And I said, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine.
Sometimes it's just that one thing that's really important to you.
Well, I stopped a few things. My wife didn't like the fact that I was drinking diet soda, 4 bottles a morning. Because I don't drink coffee. I never had coffee before. So I need to look at that. I heard a gasp go up. So, and that was my caffeine in the morning. So then she said, you know, that's all chemicals. There's no anything in there. Water and chemicals you're drinking. I said, okay, I'll stop. And that was about 9-10 years ago. I was, okay, I won't drink it anymore. So I stopped drinking all soda. Because if diet soda is not good for you, I'm sure the rest of the stuff isn't that great for you either. The ironic thing is, when we go out to Culver, she drinks soda. You know, that's not fair. Anyway, so I just stopped all soda. I don't drink coffee. I don't smoke. So I'm running out of things to do. So what do I drink in the morning? Water. That's all I have.
Yeah.
Because I don't drink coffee. I love the smell of coffee. They have it brewing here in the radio station. I love the smell of it. You ever try it?
Coffee?
Yeah.
Sure.
I never tried it. It smells great, though.
If you'd like to listen to that entire episode, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for The Don Rosen Show and find the episode entitled Upcoming Health Events with Megan Jussman. And in those show notes, you'll be able to find links to their website to sign up and find out more information. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To take all your favorite WAUK shows with you on the go, download the free Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play Store. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. Last week, I played for you a selection from an interview that Earl Ingram did on his new show, What's Going On, and it was with Isaac, who is from a group called Wellpoint, and they work with folks who go through the foster system. And today, I'm going to play for you another selection from a conversation Earl had with Ayesha, another individual from Wellpoint, giving her experience from a female's point of view of going through the foster system, as well as what Wellpoint's mission is for the community.
Hello, Ayesha. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I think I saw you a couple times before, and we had some conversations, and didn't really get to drill down and have a real one-on-one conversation with you, but tell us a little bit about Ayesha.
Well, I'm 21. Do security. I'm a pretty, like, chill person. I tend to work a lot trying to get my future started and succeed with my goals and what I have planned. I want to open up a treatment facility for young youth, so I'm in school for that. Other than that, it's just a pretty set schedule for me, work, school, business.
So tell us a little bit about your life. You didn't come into the world at 21.
I was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I moved out of Milwaukee at the age of 3 to Madison, Wisconsin. From there, around age 5, I lived with my mom. And my siblings, it was a household of 8, including me. There was 2 boys and 6 girls, including me. So a pretty small household in a 1-bedroom. Wow. Very chaotic, but Around the age of 5, I headed off into the foster system, moving around a lot between multiple foster homes, starting my foster care journey there as far as moving from Stoughton, Janesville, O'Connell Walk, all over, honestly. I've been, want to say, Memphis, Indiana, Georgia. And I've had a long journey in that sense of matter as far as just treatment facilities, group homes, and things of that nature.
So you had 7 siblings. Did any of them go, were you with any of them in the same homes, or were you always all separated?
In the beginning, there was 4 of us together. Didn't really branch out from the start like that. As far as my youngest sister, she was moved to her own home. I ended up moving with one of my older sisters. As far as in foster homes, we tend to follow the same steps in the same homes, same foster parent. My other sister at the moment, she was older, sort of dealt with her own issues, so she went her separate ways in that nature. I tend to move with just one sister, honestly. My sister Ivy, we just went with the same home, same foster parents until I got a little older and started moving to different homes myself.
I mean, that's just an amazing and kind of heartbreaking story that you traveled across the country, different foster. What impact did that have on you as a person, as a young child, right? Give us a little background on what that meant.
For me, I mean, as an adult, looking back on it, because the mindset I had then, I didn't really understand it. I just moved off my emotions and behavioral issues. Honestly, it was traumatizing. It was really traumatizing. It put me in a predicament, in a place to have trust issues as an adult, not be able to have a little attachment issues, being that I moved as much as I did, didn't get to stay in a stable place. But I feel like it built me stronger. It made me who I am today. I honestly, if I could go back, I'm gonna be completely honest with you, I would do it again, because I wouldn't be the person I was today if I didn't go through what I went through. It was a lot of different changes, environments, people, but I got to see the world from a different point of view. And now that I'm here today, looking back on it, it was, once again, just a traumatizing experience, honestly, but it really made me who I am today, the person, the kind, sweet, big-hearted person I am today.
You know, you graduate, you got through school, mm-hmm. and you are a very strong and perceptive young lady. You see the world probably a lot better than most 21-year-olds, right, who they would say come from a stable background.
Honestly, growing up, it was pretty hard for me. Honestly, through everything I've been through, I feel like most people, had they been through what I've been through, would have every reason to have given up. And it took me, honestly, to go through. It was a talk my sister had with me when I was a teenager. As far as just growing up, she sort of lived the same life as me, treatment facilities, moving around. And just the talk she had with me, although I didn't listen to it then, it carried with me. And just talks in general with adults that had those conversations with me, just as far as just you gotta grow up at some point. You can't hold on to your past. You can't hold on to the hurt and let that define who you are as a person. And for me, I feel like it took a traumatic incident to build me to the person I am today and move forward as the person I am today. And I just feel like once again, you can't let what you've been through dictate who you are as a person.
If you'd like to listen to that entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for Earl's new show, What's Going On. It's a podcast and a long-form conversation program. There you're going to look for an episode called From Pain to Purpose, A Girl's Point of View, and you can listen to it anytime, anywhere, once you download it to your device. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. And don't forget to sign up for our brand new newsletter, Civic Media Today. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. It's absolutely free, and it gets delivered to your inbox every single day with the best of civic media. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:29. Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. There's a story that's been in the paper for the past few weeks you may not know about, but it's very important because it involves our veterans. There are two housing facilities in Wisconsin that are on the verge of closure because we can't get the funding done. And when I say we, I mean Madison. And if you've heard me talk about this story, you know I get very, very animated very, very fast. So I'm going to throw it to Maggie Dunn, who spoke with Representative Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner. And they spoke about the problem at hand and how the solution is a lot easier than you think. It just comes down to money and politics. Two things that should never hamper our veterans from being taken care of.
We're talking about the fact that the MAGA regime here in the state of Wisconsin, in our state legislature, refuses to even discuss fulfilling the most basic promise that we give to every man and woman that serves in our military. And that is, if you give up part of your life to defend our freedoms, we will never leave you out in the cold. And what the MAGA regime in this state has done is break that promise. All over a measly $2 million. Okay. What they have refused to fund, despite the efforts of the governor and Democrats to put it in the biennial budget, which they pulled out, what they refused to even schedule for a committee hearing to put that funding back after the budget process. The program that we're talking about is the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Representative, you explained that the very last veteran was escorted out, I'm going to say kicked out, by the MAGA regime and GOP legislators in our state legislature, kicked out on Friday. What do you want people to do about this? How do we fix this problem? What should people be activating to try to really, again, fulfill our promise, the social contract with our veterans?
I'm excited because I do think the talking about this has actually created some movement. So while the assembly has refused to host a hearing, for the first time we heard, like within the last 24 hours or 48 hours, that at least Senator Jacques' bill may get a hearing next Wednesday. The irony is that both of these programs will close at the end of the month, and there is still not a scheduled floor session for the Senate until October. So what I'm asking folks to do, and I also want to thank my colleague, Benjamin Franklin, Representative Benjamin Franklin. Yes, that is his name. Yes. He's also a veteran, who really are not looking at this as a party issue, but an obligation issue. And so I want to make sure that we also highlight there are Republicans who are attempting to do something, and yet we are still being held back by a broken system where the vast majority of the Republicans in the legislature are refusing to even listen to this problem. So what you can do, one of the best things we can do is that there are two bills that are we are asking for people to support. There is Senator Jacques' bill, which is hopefully going to, it will still work out, gets a hearing next Wednesday. We need folks to let the committee know that they want to see veterans funded, that no veterans should be hitting the street. We have programs in place that we know that they work. The second is the bill that myself, Senator Jamie Wall, and Representative Ryan Spouty, along with Representative Benjamin Franklin, and actually two other Republicans have joined us on, the only bipartisan effort right now that can be seen, would actually get hearing. Pinterman is the chair of the committee that would be able to hear this bill. And I sent him a letter this week, myself and Representative Ryan Spouty sent him a letter asking for an immediate hearing of this bill. And just to make sure your listeners understand, there is no poison pills. There is no partisan trickery. There's literally a simple bill that you can find that literally says we're putting $1.9 million into the biennium budget to make sure this program can exist until the next budget cycle. That's all it says. It's less than half a page. This is not political theater. Right now, we're actually in acts of desperation. We should not be sending our veterans home. They're not even necessarily going home, our homeless veterans onto the streets because we cannot give them $1.9 million. And so we're going to ask your listeners and other people to make sure that Representative Pinterman, as well as during this Senate hearing next Wednesday, support veterans, get this funding to them, and make sure that we can keep them housed.
Who are the committee chairs that are responsible for scheduling the hearings? That folks should be called.
Pinterman is the committee chair in the assembly, Representative Pinterman. And in the assembly, I believe it's either under military affairs or state affairs. We just got that notice recently, so I can make sure your listeners get that shortly.
We will put that in the show notes. We're going to follow up with the representative's office to be sure we have identified those people. I can say this, call Representative Voss, flood his voicemail. Tell him to tell the GOP rep that runs, or the GOP senator that runs the Senate committee. I know Voss is on the other side of the house. Call Senator LeMahieu. Call these gentlemen that run the Senate and the Assembly in our legislature and tell them to tell the Republicans that run the committee of jurisdiction on this veterans housing issue to schedule the bills for a hearing. That's your call to action, ladies and gentlemen.
I highly suggest you go to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Maggie Dawn Show. Find the episode entitled Veterans, Values, and Healthcare Havoc. Download it and listen to the entire interview. And then I suggest you talk to a friend about this. If you have a vet, if you are a vet, I want you to go to myvote.wi.gov. Look up who represents you and tell them we want the funding now. This shouldn't be held up by partisan politics, and our veterans deserve the best care possible. Again, myvote.wi.gov. Stick around, because after Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is Jane Matinere and me, Greg Bach, with Matinere on Air. And today we talked to Dr. Kristen Lierley, speaking on the topic of Tylenol. She'll be on at 9:30. And then at 10:06, if you love cranberries, the festival is happening, and we're going to talk all things cranberry. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. Today, I'm very excited to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name is Charlie Nash, and he's the president and board chair of the Cream City Foundation in Milwaukee. And he joins me today to talk about their scholarship program, the people who applied, and what they do to invest in the community. But first, Charlie, please tell me a little history about the Cream City Foundation.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me on, Greg. I really appreciate this. So Cream City Foundation is the second oldest LGBTQ-focused foundation in the country, which is, I think, something that's really interesting when you look at the history of Wisconsin and Milwaukee, that we have that kind of caliber of support for the community as part of our history. Me personally, I have been involved with the Cream City Foundation since 2021, in which I joined the board, and I have been the president and board chair of the foundation since 2023. So it's been my pleasure to kind of continue to take that history and that legacy of Cream City Foundation, whose mission is to fund LGBTQ plus equity in Southeast Wisconsin, and help continue to evolve that vision and evolve that mission as we take on some of the newer, in fact, I think sometimes more insidious attacks that we've seen on the community over the past 2 years.
And you've made the announcement that you are making scholarships available, and I wanted you to talk about that. We saw the press release, but tell me what you do with the scholarships and how they are going to impact those who receive them.
When we think about scholarships, there's many aspects to our programming that we have. Scholarships is something that we started doing more in force around 2015. And it's been a really successful program because we feel like it has a unique impact upon our community in a few different ways. The first is the concept of capacity building. So when we think about how do we truly enable equity for LGBTQ plus people, it is for all LGBTQ plus people. And I think we need to recognize that educational outcomes, the burden of debt and financial burden that people come out with from education can vary quite a bit with underrepresented groups, people of color, transgender individuals that are often maybe facing many issues. And a particular community, many people are working through high school and college in less stable home environments. And so that financial support for truly people to build the capacity, build the skills, so not only can they be successful in their lives economically, but also have the capacity to give back. That is something that we really believe, and it's important for us as a foundation to pay forward. So this year, we were excited to announce, actually for the third year in a row, we've had a record high funding for our scholarship program. And so we've funded 20 scholarships for a total of $50,000, so $2,500 to 20 incredible students in our area. And you know, our hope is that those students will continue to stay in our area, continue to invest and see that investment made in them, and invest that time and energy back in their community in their lifetimes, whether regardless of what field they choose.
I think that's a great way of putting it. You are investing in these individuals so they can give something back. That is the important thing, especially about keeping people in Milwaukee and southeastern Wisconsin. It's about growing the community, the entire community, and through these scholarships, I can see as that is a great way to invest in our younger folks. With 20 scholarships, it must be a wide swath of individuals in the community. Can you tell me more about the folks who applied and those who got it?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You think with 20 scholarships, we actually have every year about 80 or 90 individuals that apply. So it's a very difficult set of decisions to even whittle it down to 20 and the $50,000 that we do have to invest. So the need is great. And many times the things that are making the decisions are individuals that we see a distinct need for the scholarships, individuals that have as well a demonstrated ability and capacity and desire to give back, as what I mentioned before. That's certainly something that we want to help encourage with our scholarship awardees. And in fact, we have our business quality luncheon coming up, which is our really premier event every single year in which we celebrate business equity, equity of LGBTQ plus people in the business world. And it's also our opportunity to honor our scholarship recipients. And so it's an incredible opportunity to sort of see the various experiences, have them join that kind of forum and really see, okay, here's an organization that is striving to give back. Here's how they can get involved and engage moving forward. So really exciting wide range of people that we see and want to continue to encourage participating in giving back to their community moving forward in all stripes, whether it's in the medical field, in things like history and art, or in many cases, things that may be seen as more, you know, trade related and very specific to their jobs and skills that they want to build as individuals.
This is great. I love hearing about these types of programs and giving back to the community. Charlie, if people want to know more about the scholarships going forward and just the Cream City Foundation, where do they want to go?
Right. Well, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Cream City Foundation. Otherwise, our website is creamcityfdn.org. And that's where you can find information about all our programs, events, or even kind of when the next cycle of scholarships will come up.
Charlie Nash is the president and board chair of the Cream City Foundation. I really appreciate you coming onto the show today and talking about this wonderful program. And I look forward to talking to you very, very soon, my friend.
My pleasure, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Charlie Nash for being here to talk about the Cream City Foundation. And he will be back very soon to talk about another program that's coming out. So you want to stay tuned right here on WAUK and Civic Media. Again, if you want to find out more, go to creamcityfdn.org. And I also want to let you know that we officially have our own newsletter here at Civic Media, Civic Media Today. You can sign up by going to civicmediatoday.substack.com. That way you can get an overview on everything that's happening around the network from around the state, whether it's our podcasting, whether it's our shows, stories we're working on. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com, sign up for that free newsletter, and it will be delivered to your inbox every day.
You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to waukradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. Have a wonderful Wednesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.